Praise the Lord. Well, in tradition, I'm going to tell a little story I read about actually this morning that happened in a church down the road. I won't name the church. In the service a few weeks ago, one of the stalwart couples that was in the church had their child in there. He usually comes in with them. He's a little four-year-old, but these people are spiritual giants. They're so disciplined and well-behaved. But all of a sudden, the little boy started acting up. And they tried their best to settle him down, but no matter what they did, he just got worse. So the father very, very frustratingly finally picked up the boy and headed down the center aisle, and he's headed to the back door, and just, actually no surprise to the people, before he could get to the lobby, the boy pops his head up and says, "Pray for me, pray for me!" So, well, today we're going to talk about intimacy and relationships. But we're really not going to talk that much about intimacy. We're going to talk about how to get ready for intimacy, because that's really where everything starts. And so really, about in relationships, it's about attitudes and choices. So we're going to go back to our foundational scripture we've been reading in the last few weeks in Lamentations 3. So if you'll follow along with me in verses 19 through 23, it says, "I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore," let's say that together, "I have hope. Because," and here's the reason why, "because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion will never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." So there is hope because God is merciful, and he loves us and wants us to have good relationships. So the question we've been posing for the last few weeks is, are great marriages possible? The answer is yes, but statistically, they're not so good. However, as Pastor Bill mentioned a few weeks ago, for Christians who are committed to their relationship with God and to their relationship with each other, statistics are astronomically better. So he read a Harvard study that talked about if Christians will just, couples will just pray together, read their Bible together, and attend church regularly. It was one out of 1,246 have a divorce versus the national average, which is around 50%. And so that's something to put our hope in, is if we will commit ourselves, make the right choices, and that's what relationships are all about, is making the right choices. So the five areas that we've been covering, weeks 1 through 5, we're on week 3, they're on your notes there. These are things that we can do to have a great marriage and a great relationship, pre-marriage or relationships with friends. A lot of these things apply. Number one, we talked about the first week, which was seek God. Number two, which Pastor Bill covered last week, is about fighting fair. And if you didn't get that message, it's not okay to have a big fight. There's something more to that. So you need to watch the message from last week. It's online. You can watch that. Today we're going to talk about having fun, number three. Next week, you got to be here next week. Pastor Mike's going to be bringing the message on stay pure. So that's going to be an awesome message. We look forward to that. And then the last week will be never give up. So, as I mentioned a minute ago, relationships involve choices. And that's what we're going to really talk about today. And our keynote scripture is going to be Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 through 20. And this is what it reads. It says, "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life." So the key there is choosing life, and that's what we're going to talk about today in these relationships. So the first thing we're going to talk about then is three characteristics of life-giving relationships. And we want our relationships to be life-giving. So the first one, it's in your notes there, is that life-giving relationships look to God as the source of their life. Now, I heard in my early years of marriage, and I've been blessed to be married to the most beautiful woman in the world for 35 years. And I heard in our early years that, you know, when you get married, it's like a completion, that you know, you can't be complete until you've married someone, and you know, life is kind of suffering until that person is going to complete you. She's going to have everything that you need, and somehow, some mystical, magical way, she's going to complete you. Well, I found out that's not necessarily true. That rather, we complement each other. So not complete, complement. So the next point on your screen there, on your notes, I should say, is life-giving relationships happen when two servants are in love. So a thing I just forgot about completion, so we don't want the source of your life to be your wife. We don't want the source of your life to be your husband. Rather, God, and then he shows you how you fit together, complement each other, and work together. So one of the keys of that is the second point we just brought up, two servants in love. Now, psychological studies have shown that it's almost impossible to really serve each other without God. But with God, it's more than possible, because God says with him, all things are possible. And so one of the things that we do, and we're going to give this in the next Sunday, is the DISC test. You guys give the DISC test? Is that one of the things? Yeah, that's an awesome test. I'm a D. That each letter means something. D is a dominant, and I'm a firstborn, so I ended up being a dominant leader type of exhortative type of person. But I got to really watch that, because that's a bossy person. If you're a D, you're a bossy person. You got to learn to tone that down. So we all have personality types. There's also the study on love languages, which we'll talk about in just a minute. But really, men and women are a lot different. They really operate out of two different sides of the brain. And we have a funny little video. Some of you may have seen this before, but I think it's a really good illustration of really how much different men and women are. Let's take a look at this. It's called A Tale of Two Brains, by the way.
We're going to start discussing men's brains, women's brains, and how they're very different from each other. Now, I want to start with men's brains. All right? Now, men's brains are very unique. Men's brains are made up of little boxes. And we have a box for everything. We've got a box for the car. We've got a box for the money. We've got a box for the job. We've got a box for you. We've got a box for the kids. We've got a box for your mother somewhere in the basement. We got boxes everywhere. And the rule is, the boxes don't touch. When a man discusses a particular subject, we go to that particular box, we pull that box out, we open the box, we discuss only what is in that box. All right? And then we close the box and put it away, being very, very careful not to touch any other boxes. Brains are very, very different from men's brains. Women's brains are made up of a big ball of wire. And everything is connected to everything. The money's connected to the car, and the car's connected to your job, and your kids are connected to your mother, and everything's connected to everything. And it's like, it's like the internet superhyway, okay? And it's all driven by energy that we call emotion. And it's just, it's one of the reasons why women tend to remember everything. Because if you take an event and you connect it to an emotion, it burns in your memory and you can remember it forever. The same thing happens for men. It just doesn't happen very often because, quite frankly, we don't care.
It's true. You can go online and read more of that. That's an abbreviated version. That's a hilarious video. So we mentioned growth track. So we're all very different, right? So being married and having relationships, you have to learn to accept each other because we are different. I have different callings. I have different skill sets than you do. Brenda has different abilities and skill sets, thank God, because I really need those skill sets when we work together in business, we work together in ministry, and we really need each other, and we've learned to understand that I am different, she is different, and we are all different. So when next Sunday, it's still not too late to sign up, you're going to get an assessment test, a personality test, a giftings test to show how do you fit into Victory Church, how do you fit into your call in life, and then how do you fit into Victory Church. So this is a good reason why you need to have those kind of tests, and then you'll understand each other better. So the third characteristic is that life-giving relationships make the choice every day. You have to choose every day that you're going to love your spouse, that you're going to love the person that you have a relationship, your roommate, your classmate, your friend, whoever they might be. And by the way, we don't fall in love. We don't fall out of love. Love is a choice. The word agape is a choosing type word. It's the love of God, but it's God's choice that he gave his life to us. He so loved the world that he gave his life. It was a choice he made. He may not have had the greatest feeling at that time, because as we know, the crucifixion and the beating he took was very brutal. If we went by our emotions, a lot of us would never have done that. But he had a choice because he knew it was the best thing. So it's the best thing to choose every day to love your spouse. So we're going to talk about having fun, but we're going to build a relation, build a little foundation here based on some scriptures and some principles of how to have fun. Let's go to Ecclesiastes verse 9. And it says, live happily with the woman you love through all the meaningless days of life that God has given you under the sun. The wife God gives you is your reward for all your earthly toil. So summarized, it's enjoy life with your wife or with your husband whom you love. Now, the writer was kind of grimacing through the grueling part of life. He didn't, I don't, if you look at the intent of it, he was saying that, you know, God has given you some things, and first and foremost, enjoy your relationship with your spouse, your wife, your husband. So how do we do this? I mean, this is a big challenge, as we know, if we've been married. Well, first of all, we need to understand that we're a three-part being, or some call it a triune being. And all three parts are connected to each other. They all play together. They work together. And so you have to understand these areas, and you have to nurture them, all three of them, because if you don't, then things can happen. The first area on your notes there is emotionally. And as you saw on the video, women in general, not 100% specifically, but in general, think more emotionally, because that's the way God has wired them to be, is more emotional. So I think the Holy Spirit gave a great scripture through the Apostle Peter, 1 Peter 3:8-9, says, finally, all of you live in harmony with one another, be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. So I remember in the earlier years of our marriage, because I had a lot of pride about doing things the way I like to do them, and because of my strong personality, we would have disagreements on things. And some of those things, I was absolutely convinced Brenda was wrong. I knew she was wrong, but no matter what I said, I could not convince her of it. It just would not. And you know what I figured out over the years, it took me a little bit of time to figure this out. She wasn't necessarily listening to what I was arguing about. It was the fact that I was arguing and trying to put my idea on her. Whether it was right or wrong, it was all about my attitude. My attitude was, I'm going to show you that I'm right and you're wrong. And whether I was right or wrong didn't matter, because I was trying to prove my point. And so that's a little catch that married couples get in all the time. We now counsel married couples, and we try to help people to think not so much about who's going to be right, who's going to be wrong, but let's learn to love each other and understand that we're going to have differences of opinions. Everybody's going to, and we need to learn to respect those opinions and not raise our voice and not try to prove ourselves. So, like I said, though, women are more generally satisfied when their emotions are satisfied. But either for men or women, this is not a license or an excuse for either party to be selfish. And when I was reading about this, it reminded me of a story on Robert's soccer team, one of the games. I'll never forget this. I've been to literally hundreds and hundreds of soccer games over the years. I've coached over 100 soccer games in my life through rec league and in high school. And I love soccer. But this, for some reason, this stands out because this is an emotional thing that happened with a male. And I'll never forget it. Robert's team, he played for Newberry High School. They were playing P.K. Young, who was their nemesis. P.K. Young was the state Final Four team two of the years that Robert was there. They had an awesome team. And so we had difficulty with them. So during the game, Robert was playing on defense, and they had when their team, Robert's team, had the possession of the ball, and they were down threatening to score. And so the defense generally will move up towards the middle of the field, towards the 50-yard line. But that's risky, because when you do that, if the ball returns to one of their offensive players, they have a straight shot to the goal behind you, because there's nobody but the goalie behind Robert's line of people. And so he was up on the line, and one of their better players, this guy named, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, Shawande, okay, he was from Jamaica. He was a really animated guy. He had long dreadlocks, and he was just one of those guys that stands out, but he was a good player. So that's exactly what happened. The ball came to Shawande right in front of Robert, and Robert had to make a decision here. So he made a little juke move to get around Robert, and he was going to go around him, but Robert said, "No, you're not." So Robert took his legs out from underneath of him and knocked him on the ground, which is a foul. Well, that's when the drama started. It happened over right near the P.K. Young bench, and their coaches are rather, both of our coaches were rather emotional guys on both of those teams, and the coach went ballistic. He threw his heads up, "Give him a yellow card!" And then in the meantime, Shawande was faking this. He was lying on the ground, rolling in like he was in agony, and the referee came up to him and said, "What's up?" And he says, "Not only have I been hurt physically, I have been hurt emotionally." And the referee looked at him and said, "Get up." That was the funniest thing. And the coach was yelling, "Yellow card, yellow card." And he probably Robert would have gotten a yellow card, which is a warning card. But because of this guy putting on this show, he didn't even give Robert a card. So I'll never forget that. Robert got mercy. Both of the coaches got yellow cards for screaming and yelling in that game. Okay. I forgot about that. All right, so we need to connect emotionally, though. We really do. So I have some suggestions for some cheap dates that you can connect emotionally with. Because, you know, some of us have budgets to work with. And one of them is, you know, go out to an expensive restaurant, and then afterwards go to someplace like Lowe's or Walmart, because we talked about love languages earlier. Three of the love languages are quality time, acts of service, and gifts. So if you have quality time together, which you will because you're out on a date, then the person who likes acts of service can find something at the store to do with their acts of service, or they can find a gift while they're there. So we can connect some of the different gifts that men and women have by going out on a date like that. Also, you can go out on a date where you either relive your first date or your favorite date. Maybe your first date wasn't so good, but so you want to find a date that just was an awesome date. Go out and relive that. That will connect you emotionally. Three is when you do go out, give out acts of kindness cards together as a team, or pray for your servers in the restaurants. I know some of you do that, and a lot of you know that Brenda and I do that. And I have a story that just happened Friday night when we have a server, and she actually waited on the pastor's team at Liquid Ginger the last time we were there, a Chinese young lady, and she saw us, and she was our server. And I just asked her right away if she was a Christian. She goes, "No." And she goes, "Well, why is this group smaller tonight?" I said, "It's our Bible study group." She goes, "I want a Bible." And I said, "Would you like a Chinese Mandarin Bible or an English Bible?" She says, "I want both." And so I said, wow. So I asked her if we could pray for her. And she was here by herself from China. All of her family, including two young children, are back in China, and she wanted desperately to get them to come. So we prayed for her, and it really touched her. And she asked again at the end, can you please bring me a Bible? And so it was awesome. So, yes. So things happen, and that connects you because you're doing it together, husband and wife. You're praying for somebody, and it really does connect you emotionally. Also, the last one is try a no cell phone date. Leave your iPhones, your tablets, leave them at home. Okay, so there's some things you can do to help connect you emotionally. The next area is emotionally is connect to the mind, the will, and the emotions. That's what we say emotionally. That's one of the three parts that you are. The second area is physically. Now, we're not going to talk a lot about physical intimacy because we have mixed ages and groups in here. We're not going to get into that in here, but I want to talk about a couple scriptural principles that will help you. Proverbs 5, verse 18 says, may your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. And then Proverbs 4, verses 25 through 27 says, let your eyes look directly ahead, let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you, watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. So we have two principles in these scriptures here. There are significant ways to protect your relationship and to inspire you in your relationship. The one in Proverbs 4, the first one, by reading this out loud, I read this out loud almost every single day. I haven't memorized, but I read it out loud because there's a principle that I've shared when I've been up on to share the word before about faith comes by hearing God's word. So I'm building a foundation every day whenever I speak any of God's word, and so would you be, and I would recommend that you read God's word out loud because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's in Romans 10:17. So that's the principle of reading it out loud. Now, what's happening here in Proverbs chapter 4? Well, we all know that we have peripheral vision, right? That when I walk along, I can see, I'm staring straight ahead, I can see my two fingers right here. I can see a pretty wide range around me. The devil also knows you have peripheral vision. So when you are walking along, if you already have this in the morning when you go out that, hey, I'm looking straight ahead, I'm fixing my eyes directly in front of me, I'm not turning to the right or turning to the left, when some seducing spirit brings a person that you know you shouldn't be looking at and know you shouldn't be thinking at, you've already got this foundation in you so that, oh, no, no devil, I recognize that. My eyes are looking directly ahead. I'm fixing my gaze straight in front of me, straight in front of me. I'm not turning, that's why it says don't turn to the left or don't turn to the right, because you know that's where your peripheral vision's at. So that has helped me, and I would recommend it to all men and women, but men mainly because we're attracted much more quickly by our eyes. Women like to have, they have to have kind words in our lives. So, and then Proverbs 5, you can go back and read all of Proverbs 5. You can go read the Song of Solomon. There's a lot of intimate scriptures, but you need to confess that you know, I love my wife. I love my husband. I'm rejoicing. You can put it in the first person like I just did. I'm rejoicing in Brenda, the wife of my youth. She's the most beautiful woman in the world. So that's connecting you in a good inspirational way. So protection and inspirational. All right, the third area that we are is we're body, we're soul, we're spirit. We're spirit. We have a heart inside of us, which is where the Spirit of God resides in us. In Hebrews 3:1, this is a shortened version of it. It's the very kind of like 3:1, the first section of it, verse part A or whatever you want to say. Brothers and sisters, you are holy partners in a heavenly calling. Now, what does that mean? That means you live holy for God, yes, but you're a team. Every husband and wife, you may be also on some kind of relational team that does other things for projects and whatever. There's a lot of teams. We have teamwork here. We have dream teams. We're on a holy calling. But we're also partners, which makes us a team. My wife and I are a team. We work together as a team. So we have different likes. She doesn't like to watch sports on TV like I do. She doesn't like to go fishing like I do. We could go on and on. There's just things that she likes to watch on TV that I don't. But do we make it an issue? No. We know that we have different likes. Now, having said that, we complement each other and we work as a team. So, for example, Brent and I both have a prophetic gift. And we've in different venues at times, we've ministered we've been invited to different churches, and we pray for people, and we work as a team. And that really connects us. I feel so connected to her when we do something in our spiritual calling, which is we have a prophetic gift to encourage people in what God's saying to them. We also do marriage counseling together, and that connects us together too. So there's different things in ministry, but you might say, well, I'm not in ministry. I don't do those kinds of things you just mentioned, but you're still a husband and wife team if you're married, or maybe you're in the premarital stage of getting ready to be husband and wife. So there's things about either being parents that you have to work together as a team. You are called together because they're looking at you as husband and wife, mother and father, not just looking at one of y'all. And this is not to say if you're a single parent, God will work with you. He will bless you. He will bring in the things that you need. So don't worry if you're a single parent. God knows you're a single parent, and he will give you the equipping that you need to work through that. But husbands and wives, we need to work together and pray together. Brent and I pray together almost every day. There's rarely a day we don't. And usually, in a lot of times, it's twice a day. So now that's tough, and I realize that if you have small children, to pray together, to find a time, especially if you both work. So you have to kind of work through that. Again, this is about choices. You have to make the hard choices sometimes. The busier you are, the more you're going to have to figure out what's a time I can carve in. And, you know, late at night, right before you go to sleep, that might be the best time because everybody's asleep, the kids are asleep, no more work, and that's a good time, maybe in the morning. But you can find a time to pray with each other for different people, different situations. So the scripture that we're going to end on is Matthew 6, 21, and it's on the overhead there. There it is. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Okay, so the last fill in the blank is choices lead, feelings follow. You know, we've talked with people that, you know, when you start to get in a habit of arguing and fighting and disagreeing on things, it makes it tough on the emotions. Really on both of them, not just the lady, the husband too. It makes it tough. And we know that it makes it tough. So you're not going to just all of a sudden wake up one morning and feel like I'm going to get along with my spouse. It's probably not going to happen. So just like the scripture says, where your treasure is, what does that mean? Your treasure is where you spend your time. Where's the treasure in your life? If you want to see results and you want to see a turnaround in your marriage, or you just want to see it strengthen, maybe it's going good, your treasure is your relationship. Your treasure is spending time with that person. So I would almost guarantee you that if you will take the time to spend time talking, praying, going out on a date once a week, can we do that? Once a week, go out on a date with your spouse. Dating didn't stop when you got married. It should have continued because really it's a whole lifelong process, isn't it, about getting to know your spouse. It really is. So these are some choices that we can make. So if you make that choice, I'm not saying how long it'll take, but when you make those kind of choices to spend time with your spouse, the feelings will follow. They'll come around. But they require that we make those kind of choices to put our treasure really where it needs to be, spending time. Outside of your relationship with God, it's the most important time that you're going to spend is time with your wife, and then your children, and then your brothers and sisters in the Lord, but in that order. So that's what it'll do. Now, we didn't get into a study of the five love languages, but one of the love languages that some of us have a higher propensity towards is words of affirmation. But I was thinking about that. Words of affirmation. Words are powerful. You can either tear your relationship down in a hurry with the wrong kind of words, or you can build it up with words of affirmation. So that was one of my top two And, you know, I'm thinking, really, everybody needs words of affirmation. No matter where they are on your five levels of love languages, we need words of affirmation. So making new choices will change your words. And so, well, let's think about that. I would like everyone, if you're a husband and a wife, I want to pray over, so bow your head. But if you're husbands and wife, would you either put your arm around your wife, husbands, or hold their hands, whichever you prefer to do. And let's all bow our heads. And even if you're not married, let's think about this, because we all have relationships with our parents, with our friends, with our roommates, with our dream team members, whatever they might be. We've all got relationships. And God wants to turn things around and strengthen us. So let me pray for us. Lord, I just pray over every relationship in this room. Lord, especially for the husbands and wives, I thank you for them, Father God. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would show them that you have put them together. If they've been having difficulties, Father, we just pray that you would show them that you have put them together. And Lord, as we've been talking about making choices, I pray, Lord, that you would inspire them this morning, that it's time to make new choices. And I pray right now, restoration into every relationship. Those who are doing well, strengthen them, encourage them, confirm to them the things that are going on, Lord, and strengthen those relationships. And I take authority over every spirit of division, strife, arguing, and even divorce that would try to come into our members of Victory Church. I cast it off of every person right now. Be gone in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for that emotions of love will follow. But I pray right now that choices of love would become the foundation in all of our lives, no matter what the relationship is. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before I close, we'd like to give an opportunity for you, if you're not sure you're a Christian today. And we talked about relationships, and that's what really being a Christian's all about. It's about a relationship. It's not about how many times you went to church or how many good deeds you did in your life, because really, if God is perfect, we can never do enough good things to earn our relationship with God and be a follower of Him. That's why He came to earth. Jesus came and sacrificed Himself as the Son of God so that we could have a relationship with God. John 17:3 says, "This is eternal life, to know God and to know His Son, Jesus, whom He sent." It also says in 1 John 5 that there's a question that the believers were asking, the new Christians were asking in that time, and they didn't know for sure if they would go to heaven. There was some concern about some of them. So the Apostle John said in 1 John 5, he says that, "He who has the Son has life." Then, in other words, if you've received Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior, you have life. "He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." So, it was a choice. And so that was to reassure them that those who had, not based upon their emotions, how they feel or how they messed up, those who had accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior and decided to follow Him, they had eternal life. He said, "These things do I write to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life." So He wanted them to know. Now God wants all of us to know that we all have eternal life. So I want everyone again to bow their heads, and I want to ask this question. And you say, "Pastor Carl, I don't have a daily relationship. You talked about making choices every day, and I don't know if I can say for sure I'm going to heaven. I don't think I've really prayed ever to receive Jesus into my life and let Him be my Lord and Savior, and I would like to do that this morning." Or if you're someone who's made that choice before, but you've kind of gone off the, you've strayed off, and you're not really following God like you used to, and you want to get back on track, if you fall in either one of those two categories, I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm just going to say, "Yes, Pastor Carl, I'd like to pray and make Jesus my Lord and Savior, or get back on track and follow Him." If you fall in any of those categories and you want me to pray for you, raise your hand so I can see your hand. I just want to pray for you. Anybody that would like to get back on track or follow, receive Jesus as their Lord? Thank you. Anybody? Okay, well, let's all pray this prayer together, and we'll join. If you want to pray that prayer, pray it to yourself under your breath, and we'll all pray together with you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on a cross for my sins. And thank you for raising him from the dead so that I can live together with you forever. So right now I turn away from all sins, anything that's not pleasing to you, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And I ask you, Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord and my Savior, make me into the person that you want me to be. And I now say out of my mouth, I'm a Christian, and I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. Hallelujah. Thank you so much.